Well, there is still another COVID vaccine in Australia's depleted portfolio. It's the American-made Novavax. Australia has ordered about 51 million doses. They should have been here around about now, but they're not. So where is Novavax at? Associate Professor Paul Griffin is an infectious diseases physician and microbiologist at Mater Health Services in Brisbane. He's also a senior lecturer at the University of Queensland. He's been keeping track of COVID vaccine progress.
That vaccine is still progressing through clinical trials, and as we've done with all the other vaccines, as soon as we have enough data to support its use, it will potentially become available. So hopefully the phase three trials will have enough data to do that fairly soon.
And so that will then have to go through Australia's TGA process, won't it? Because we don't have emergency authorisation for these vaccines.
That's exactly right. They'll review that as they have the other candidates that are already in use. And my understanding is they already have some data that's been looked at, but they'll obviously need that full data set from the completed phase three trials to issue that approval.
Do you want to have a punt at when we might see Novavax going into arms in Australia?
Look, hopefully soon. It's always really hard to know because it simply is a matter of having enough data to be confident enough that it's safe and effective. And, you know, obviously our regulator is very rigorous and won't do anything before we have that. I would think it's probably only around 3 months away, but again, that's very much a guess, and it all comes down to when we have that data.
Yeah, and what do we know about its efficacy at this stage, notwithstanding that we've still got to get that last data?
Yeah, exactly. So need more information to know for sure. It is definitely looking like a safe and effective vaccine, though. And again, if I was to have a guess with that data still pending, I would say it's going to be positioned somewhere between the mRNA vaccines and the viral vector vaccines. So an efficacy of perhaps the high 80s with no significant safety signals seen yet in the clinical trials.
Right. So what sort of vaccine is this one?
So this is what we call a protein or a subunit vaccine. So more of a traditional approach, in fact, than the ones we're using so far. So with the mRNA ones, we inject the instructions for the little bit that we want to get a response against. With the viral vector vaccines like AstraZeneca, we inject, we put the instructions for that in a harmless virus that delivers it for us. With this one, we just make those bits in the lab. And what we need to do to get enough of an immune response is tweak that somehow. And Novavax is a method they've been using for some time to do that for these protein vaccines. So hopefully we'll show that it's as good as it sounds in those trials soon.
And the technique itself, is it reliable? Does it have any issues pop up?
It's a very reliable technique. We do need to add some things to it to boost that immune response. We call those adjuvants, so something to help that response. And so in this one, there's an adjuvant that they've used quite a lot in lots of other clinical trials, again, that's proven safe and effective. So, it's great technology, and it'll be good to have that one on board.
And what about the trials? Has Novavax, because we've got new variants emerging in lots of parts of the world, in fact, has Novavax been trialled in sites where there are new variants?
Yeah, so the phase three trials are being trialled in many countries, and the reality of our situation at the moment is any ongoing trials will include those new variants as they've become fairly widespread. So couldn't say exactly what numbers would make it in terms of the enrolment in those trials, but given those trials include areas that have all those variants circulating, I wouldn't be surprised if we at least get some information on them. So yeah, that will certainly be a useful thing to see when we have that data available.
And the reason for the sort of delay, maybe it's not a delay really, scientifically, I mean, these things are always subject to various complexities, but, you know, why don't we have the final phase three trials by now?
Yeah, not because there was any significant issues, and certainly not because of any safety issues with the vaccine. Their recruitment into the trials has just been slower than they would anticipate. And, you know, I can only imagine that part of that was because the other vaccines were already in use. And obviously there's been lots of COVID, which makes clinical trials complicated. So I think it was just literally some logistical challenges with the enrolment in these trials. But my understanding is it's kind of back on track now and progressing well.
But again, this isn't a vaccine we can produce in Australia, is it? So we're still going to be reliant on buying it from overseas.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, one of the main benefits of the AstraZeneca vaccine was our capability to make it here. And I guess I should say that's still a benefit in the group that can still use that vaccine. So those people over 50, the fact that we need to rely essentially solely on vaccines brought in from other countries means we will be at the mercy of some of those tenuous supply chains moving forward. And, you know, that obviously is a little bit of a setback. And, you know, hopefully Novavax can deliver the 51 or thereabout million doses that we've been assured.
Yeah. Paul, I wonder what you would say to people, the general public, about how long we're going to be advancing and then slightly stepping back and then advancing a bit more on vaccines around COVID. I mean, it's a pandemic. It's a massive event for the globe. We're not going to be jumping out of this anytime soon, are we, no matter what happens with vaccines?
No, that's right. And I think it's really important to reflect on the, you know, the events of the last few days with respect to AstraZeneca. Is really this represents a strength of our monitoring. So, you know, we've picked this issue up very early. There's still so few cases. And I guess that's why the situation's changing so quickly, is because, you know, those case numbers are so low and we're still learning a lot more about this event. So, you know, this was obviously reported quickly and we've had a response to ensure everyone remains safe, even if some people are saying it's a little heavy-handed. We wanted to make sure that we did keep everybody safe. And so we'll hear more about this event. We'll hear more about all the vaccines in use. And then there'll be new vaccines coming through probably continuously for the next few years to give us the best chance of having the best vaccines available to protect everybody.
And is there some way we could ramp up domestic production of vaccines in Australia? That's the big lesson here, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly being looked at. You know, we have a lot of great scientists, a lot of great companies in this country. CSL obviously do a fantastic job. And, you know, my understanding is there's constant discussions about which vaccines we can make here and trying to get agreements so that can happen. You know, that hasn't happened yet, and it does take time because it's a lot to do to make a vaccine of sufficient quantity as well as quality. So it can't happen overnight. But I wouldn't be surprised if we do start making something else here soon, but too early to say which one it'll be.
Paul Griffin, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Professor Paul Griffin.